This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Good evening and welcome. It's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight in the studio, the Worldwide Wave team is Damien.
Hello.
Tom is here.
Hey.
And my name is Matt. Now, in the early 1990s, the words lesbian and Jewish were rarely heard in the same sentence. Despite acceptance of the broader LGBT community leaping ahead at the time, the intersection of religion and sexuality didn't really sit well in the Jewish community. So a feisty group of women decided to do something about it.
What inspired a collective of lesbians to join together in solidarity to form a Jewish lesbian group?
What trailblazing firsts has this group achieved?
How did the group overcome the hurdles they encounter from the Jewish community and from the LGBT community? To share their story, joining us in the studio shortly will be Shauna Shirker from the Jewish Lesbian Group of Australia and Kate Lafoe, co-director of the documentary film It's Who We Are, telling the 20-year history of this group at a special midsummer screening. Here's a taste of what you've got coming up tonight.
Lesbians were substantially invisible in the Jewish community prior to the Concert in the Park stall and that public coming out of the Jewish lesbian group.
We were there where no one else would do it, and we did it because we wanted to do, and we were proud of being there.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Kicking off this week in Israel, where schools in Tel Aviv are set to update the Shabbat welcoming service, that's for the Sabbath, which are held in municipal preschools so that it portrays a variety of non-heteronormative families. This is a move that aims to reflect and represent the reality of families living in the city of Tel Aviv at the moment. LGBT and single-parent family structures will be introduced to teach young people diversity and coexistence from a young age. I think this is a good move.
Sounds very progressive.
It does. They have reported a mix of responses from teachers. So there have been some teachers who have been very, very supportive and others who've been a little resistant to this change. Last year, a poll in Israel found that support for equal marriage had dramatically surged up to 76%. I think that's even higher than us here in Australia. Which is a great start. So the government in Tel Aviv in particular is looking at how they can better reflect the needs of the LGBT community.
And over to Somalia, where in a disturbing development, the Al-Shabaab Islamic extremist group has announced it has killed a teenage boy and a young man for engaging in sexual conduct. This is the first known time that Al-Shabaab has carried out what it calls executions over homosexuality. The Somalia-based extremist group announced the killing on radio, saying they were carried out in a public square. The group said it killed 20-year-old Isaac Abshiria and 15-year-old Abdurizak Sheikh Ali after they were arrested by Al-Shabaab's Islamic police and convicted by a court run by the extremists.
They boasted about this. They called the acts immoral and reprehensible in their announcement.
And over to Peru, where a court has ordered the country to recognise its first same-sex marriage. The ruling was made by the 7th Constitutional Court in the capital of Lima following a lawsuit by a gay couple. The couple live in Mexico City, where marriage is open to same-sex couples. On 12th of January 2012, Galazara applied to have his marriage entered into the register. It was struck down on March of the same year.
It's interesting that this is another one of those countries where a challenge in the courts has, the government hasn't been able to deal with the issue. America's
it's
good example
the
here.
People taking it to the courts.
A court case comes in and the courts say, nope, you've got to deal with it.
Now, it's not exactly done yet, but it is certainly setting the scene for change.
On the path.
He then sued the Peruvian government, demanding to recognize his marriage as legitimate and for it to be added to the register. On Monday, the court ruled in their favor in a move which has been hailed as bringing the country one step closer to marriage equality.
Interestingly, last year they tried to put up a draft law by a couple of gay MPs to establish marriage equality, but it has not yet succeeded in Peru. Across to the UK now, where gay men in the UK who were convicted under historic anti-gay laws are just weeks away from the pardon that many have spent their lifetimes waiting for.
And this is, key word there is lifetimes.
Indeed. This is something that we have achieved here in Victoria locally, and it will become law very shortly, or available to people who've been convicted before. The amendments to the Police and Crime Bill, commonly known as Turing's Law, which is after the codebreaker Turing, have cleared the final reading of the House of Commons last week. It received unopposed support, unanimous, through the Parliament. It's likely to receive royal assent within weeks.
Now, interesting, though, as progressive as this is, the automatic pardons, once legislated, will not apply for anyone still living. So all the deceased will have their pardons acted upon, but if... if you're still alive, you've actually got to apply to the Home Office to have the name cleared yourself through the disregard process.
And this actually happened here in Australia, particularly in Victoria as well, whereby there were some people convicted of, I guess, more than one law, more than one crime. And this is a way of, I guess, making sure the right people get pardoned.
There's also a few T's and C's on there that says men who are not eligible are those that were convicted for an offence that involved a person younger than 16, was non-consensual, or constitutes the offence of sexual activity in a public laboratory.
Now, in brief, in the USA, President-elect Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of State has declined to specifically say whether gay rights are human rights.
Also in the USA, the wife of the man who killed 49 people in the Pulse nightclub massacre last year, in the deadliest mass shooting in US history, has been arrested and charged with obstructing the investigation into the incident.
And in Italy, a mother has lost custody of her teenage son because a court has decided he is too effeminate.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, this is Jessica Stern from Outright Action International, and we work to bring visibility to the struggles of and discrimination facing lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people all across the globe on Worldwide Wave.
You are listening to the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9, and you just heard Tehiye Li Ahava by Harel Scott.
And that means Love Awaits Me, which we are exploring all things Jewish and lesbian tonight. And joining us in the studio, very pleased to have with us Shauna Shirka from the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria. And Kate is here as well, Kate Lafoe, the co-director of a documentary film, It's Who We Are, showing in this year's Midsummer Festival, which is why we brought you in. But I might just start with you, Shauna, because when we're talking about all things Jewish, are we talking about ethnicity? Are we talking about nationhood? Are we talking about religion?
It's a good question, and it's a little bit hard to answer, so we don't answer it. We allow women to come and self-define themselves as both Jewish and lesbian, and we leave it up to them to identify themselves and describe their own identity. So it really varies. You can speak to, they say, two Jews, three opinions. You can speak to anyone in our group and get several opinions on that.
Now, the documentary, so it's called It's Who We Are, and it tells the story of the 20-year history of the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria. Kate, you talked to people in the documentary about the very first time they came together. Can you give us a bit of an insight into the first meeting of the Jewish Lesbian Group?
This is actually one of my favourite scenes in the documentary. So the Jewish lesbian group met for the first time in 1992, and they put a ad in the newspaper, in the local Jewish newspaper, and they were so worried that it wasn't going to get printed that basically they slipped their ad with some money under the door, and then they thought they'd be morally bound to print their ad. And, what ended up happening, they were kind of ready for battle and thinking that they would need to fight it, but they published it no problem.
Wow. Interestingly, they went to the Jewish group and not to an LGBT newspaper. Was there any sort of approach? I guess maybe paint us a bit of a picture of what it might have been like to be a lesbian in Melbourne and Jewish at that time.
Okay, well, I only came to Melbourne in 1994 from Canada with my Australian partner, who was one of the founding lesbian members of JLGV, the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria. So I know the story through her, but I can't tell you how it felt me personally. But I should back up a little bit and say that there was a meeting before that ad went in, and it was part of a lesbian festival, and a few Jewish women made contact in the corridor of this festival and realized that they were there together and thought, wouldn't it be nice to hold a Friday evening Shabbat, just a ceremony to come together and be Jewish in this lesbian festival. So they put the word out and told a few friends, and they told a few friends, maybe even put an announcement up on the announcement board. And when Shabbos came around, it was overwhelming, the response and the number of women who came to participate in that ceremony. So that really, I think, were the very beginning of the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria. And they looked around the room, were very encouraged by the response, the community response in the lesbian community, and then decided to branch out and put this ad into the Australian Jewish News, fully expecting, as Kate rightly said, that the ad would be rejected, and it wasn't rejected, and that then started the regular meetings of JLGV.
It sounds like a success story from the get-go, but I imagine it wasn't all positive. There would have had its challenges along the way. What were some of those things that the group had to negotiate as they kind of forged new ground?
Yes. Well, I mean, any community group has its inherent challenges as a community group. But this particular group, bridging both the lesbian identity and the Jewish identity, had some extra challenges, if you like. So certainly there were some walls to knock down or barriers to break within the Jewish community around their own views of lesbians and homophobia and lesbophobia, and then also within it's funny to refer to the mainstream lesbian community, but to challenge some of those views of anti-Semitism within the queer community, the gay and lesbian community, were also a challenge. So there are a lot of those through the now almost 26-year history of the group. And yeah, I'm happy to go through some examples if you like, but we generally try and make a safe space where Jewish lesbians can come together and escape some of those challenges and find strength in each other's company and support.
We will explore that a bit more, but you've come in with another layer to add to that, which is an outsider, somebody from another country. What was your first experience of being a lesbian in Melbourne? Did you find that something that was comfortable or frightening, or tell us about your experience?
Well, I followed my heart here and came here for love, so it wasn't frightening at all. It was a beautiful whirlwind time, and still continues to be with my same partner at that time. So
fantastic.
We met at the Michigan Women's Music Festival.
Wow.
Under the, I don't know if it was an oak tree, but let's call it an oak tree.
I feel like we should put some romantic music in the background.
At a Jewish lesbian Shabbat ceremony. So it was the fact that we were both Jewish and lesbian at that place and time that brought us together.
Is that, I guess, did that form a part of your experience being there, I guess, cause you to be more involved, more engaged, more excited about being involved in the group here?
Oh, absolutely. I had been involved in starting a similar group in Montreal, where I'm from. So, our group was called Big Jewish Dykes. We were three members, but whenever we were interviewed in media, we'd say we were 30,000.
Thousands.
and we just got bigger and bigger every year. So, it was interesting that the group here in Victoria and the group in Montreal were very similar, and that we came together to celebrate, being Jewish lesbians in a hostile environment and providing a safe and celebratory space for women to meet and meet each other and gain support.
And I'm going to say lesbian trailblazers too, because the list of firsts that this group has undertaken is quite impressive, from being the first Jewish identity and sexuality group here in Victoria, first Pride March participants in Victoria, first participants in the same vein in Sydney Mardi Gras. I mean, this is a group of pretty dynamic women, I would imagine.
I think there are some remarkable women in this group. You're right, and they are women who believe in, as I keep coming back to this celebration concept, and it's really that despite what various voices in various communities say, we found our own voice and made that a celebratory voice. So there were many walls to break down in the process of doing that. Not everybody was on board from the beginning. So, yes, we've pushed some walls over in the Jewish community, and we were the first gay or lesbian group to have a visible presence at In One Voice. And at the time it was called Concert in the Park. That's our Jewish equivalent to Carnival that we had on the weekend. And we continue to push down boundaries, because there's still boundaries to push, unfortunately, but there's strength in numbers and momentum, and we have that now for 26 years, and we're not stopping now. So
we have in the studio Shauna Shirka and Kate Lafoe speaking to us about the documentary this weekend, It's Who We Are, a part of Midsummer Festival. You are on World Wide Wave.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
In the studio, we've got Shauna Shirka from the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria and Kate Lafoe, who was one of the arms and brains and filmmakers behind the creation of the documentary It's Who We Are, which is showing this weekend as a part of Midsummer. Kate, this was a bit of a labour of love. This took quite a bit of time. How long did it take to make the documentary?
We shot this over 12 months with my co-director David Muir and also our producer Rilke. And it was actually a lot of fun to shoot, because we'd go over and attend their events at someone's house and interview them. But it'd be a lot of fun because we'd hear lots of great stories, and you could see all the energy from this really dynamic group of women. And also they fed us really well, and the lunches were amazing. Yeah.
Did that energy rub off on you? Did that inspire you even more to make sure this was a great doco?
Yeah, definitely. I felt that I could really identify with what some of the women were saying. So there's one bit when Sandra talks about going to a picnic, and just the idea that she kind of sees her people, and there's these women, and they're here, and they're Jewish, and that kind of getting that sense of belonging. I felt that spoke to me as well, and speaks to everyone.
Shauna, that sense of belonging, is it different within the Jewish community compared to other things you might be involved in? Do you find there's a stronger pull?
Yes, the pull to the Jewish lesbian group of Victoria is very, very strong. I was raised kind of modern Orthodox, and then changed to Reform, if that means anything to the listeners in North America. But so I've always had a place in the Jewish community, and what we found in talking to a lot of the women who come to our group is that at some point when they come out as lesbian, that they have to almost make a decision whether or not they identify themselves publicly in their Jewish community and to their Jewish families. And you were asking me earlier about what it was like back in 92. Well, that was very much more
even
what it was
harder
like at the time. It was very closeted for a lot of women. And, you know, our members come from a really diverse background. Some are religious, some are secular, some are Israeli, some are Australian-born, some speak Yiddish, some speak Hebrew. Most of us speak English now. Some are feminist, lesbian, some are bisexual, some are transgendered. So it is quite a diverse, and as I said, everyone has their own different story. But for me, yes, there was, I felt that to be lesbian, to be openly lesbian, meant leaving my Jewish community behind, and that this group provides me with a space where I can be both and celebrate both parts of my identity very openly and happily.
There are some very strongly Orthodox Jews. Not sure how it is specifically in Melbourne, but internationally, if I talk on the global scale. How does Melbourne stack up in that area? Is it a bit more accepting? Do you find opposition within the Jewish community?
Look, I think the community is evolving, as most communities are over time. We are talking about a period of now just over 25 years. So, you know, you can say the same thing about any religious community, is that they have evolved over the last quarter of a century, and the Jewish community is no different. We faced a lot of opposition initially in the early days. We had to fight for every space that we claimed within the Jewish community, and to some extent within the lesbian community as well. And now I look at the Midsummer program and I see there's no less than four, you know, religious Jewish events coming up this weekend and next week. So that's remarkable to me, and it really, I think, is a reflection of the space that we're making for ourselves within our communities.
It's something that we've noticed on this show too, because we speak to people from all around the world, and one of the common themes that has, I guess, started to flow through in the last probably 5 years is approaching religious leaders who would normally be the ones that the LGBTI community avoids or there is conflict, but approaching them and bringing them on board as allies. Are religious leaders within the Jewish community now allies for the Jewish lesbian group, would you think?
I don't know if I'd go that far. There's still opposition there, so I can't really... I'm really not a part of the religious Melbourne Jewish community, so I'm really not the best person to answer that question. But I would say that I think the more accepting and celebrating that we make it to be out, proud Jewish lesbians, the more people know a Jewish lesbian in their circle of their, you know, their social circle or their family, and it I think that goes a long way to dispelling some of the myths about us, and making our existence more acceptable in the community. We're much more visible generally because we just keep coming out.
What about the LGBTI community, Kate? I believe the documentary also, it wasn't all plain sailing in terms of acceptance within our own community. Or was it?
Look, it's had a fairly good reception. So we premiered at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival a few years ago now. And we've had it screen in India at the Queer Film Festival over there, and in Atlanta in the US, and also in Leeds in the UK.
Do you get feedback from them? Do you?
I think it was quite positive. None of us, unfortunately, made it over for the screenings.
That should be a part of the deal, I think, you know. Yeah. If you show me my film, you've got to fly me over there and do a Q&A.
Yeah, and all of the group, yeah.
I think there have been examples in the lesbian community that I can speak of where I don't think they were overtly anti-Semitic, let's say. They didn't go out of their way to block Jews from attending, but they would schedule things. So, for example, Take Back the Night historically was scheduled on a Friday night, which for religious Jewish women and men, for that matter, would not attend. And the organisers, in working with the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria and some of our members became aware of this issue and that it was a barrier for being inclusive for a broader community membership, and they changed the Take Back the Night march from a Friday night to a Saturday night so that Jews could attend. So that's just one example of where we've, you know, we've pushed and made a space that we could be a part of, in that case, the feminist lesbian community in Taking Back the Night.
That's pretty significant, because it wasn't so much a middle ground, it was they came to you rather than you went to the community, in that they had to move it away from the Friday night because obviously the religious scheduling is quite fixed. So that must have been, I guess, a good indication that the community was receptive and was willing to work on improving things.
None of these positive changes happened without dialogue and a lot of sweat and tears.
Perseverance.
And perseverance, yes. And if there's one thing that I could, you know, one word that I could use to describe our group is that we are committed and we don't take no for an answer, really. Especially when you know that there's every right reason why you should be there. And the thing about being exclusive is that you don't know who's missing because they're not there. So you know, the people who are organizing things aren't particularly aware of the lack of inclusivity. So that was one victory that we were really quite proud of. And the other one I thought I'd mention was the In One Voice Festival that I mentioned earlier, which is like our Jewish Carnival, which is a big community festival. And again, we wanted to have a presence there. We knew there were lesbians in the community who we weren't contacting and we couldn't reach in any other way. This was an opportunity for community groups to make themselves visible and attract new membership and get their message out there. And we pushed to have a table and we were there. And the organizers of that event were okay about us being there, but after we attended, there was quite a big backlash, and we had the longest running letters to the editor campaign topic in the history of the Australian Jewish News, and it was quite nasty, to the point where we had prior to the event, it was recommended that we get some extra security for our stall and take some precautions. So it hasn't been a smooth, happy ride the whole way through, but
but persistence has been a common thread.
That's the one.
We've got more coming up with our guests, Shauna Shirka from the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria and Kate Lafoe, the co-director of the documentary film It's Who We Are.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Hussein Al-Azadeh covering the Middle East for the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission on the Worldwide Wave.
You're listening to the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. And tonight, Shauna brought in one of those tracks. What did we hear?
That song was called the Uncle Moses' Wedding Dance. It's a Freilach wedding tanz. Freilach means gay in the happy sense, but it's been reclaimed by groups like the band you just heard, which is lesbian klezmer band from Brooklyn called the Isle of Klezbos. And they have provided another song on the soundtrack of our film, so I thought I'd bring them in and give them a plug.
Nice work. We like what you did there. And that's the voice of Shauna Shirka from the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria, who have joined us this evening.
Now, Shauna, the Jewish community, I guess one of the fascinating facets is that the Jewish community is so spread out around the world through various means, and I guess Melbourne is no exception. We've got quite a large Jewish community. How does that experience help or impact the Jewish lesbian group here?
Yeah, well, as you can hear from my accent, and I said earlier, I'm also from overseas, so We realized in making the film that so many of us are from elsewhere. Probably about 50% of us, of the group members who are represented at the time that we were shooting the film, are born overseas. Yeah, it is huge, and I think it's probably a reflection of how nomadic or diasporic the Jewish community is. So we like to think of JLGV, the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria, as a welcome port in the storm, let's say, for anyone who's travelling through Melbourne, whether they're travelling and staying for a short time or a long time, to get in touch with us and come along to one of our events.
How big is your group?
About 30,000 members.
Huge!
That sounds like
similar rhetoric from your days in Canada.
You were paying attention. we have a large mailing list, but let's put it that way. And like Joy and your worldwide reach, we have a worldwide reach as well. We have friends and supporters around the world who follow what we do on our Facebook page or on our website. We have a smaller group who come to regular meetings. We come together regularly to celebrate most of the major Jewish holidays. So we just had our Hanukkah party back in December, where we got together and spun dreidels and made latkes and just celebrated the end of year like everybody else. So around food, as Kate said, and so food and music and good conversation and good company.
Is that a common thread in all your activities?
Seems to be, yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
Yes. Yeah.
Thinking back, I mean, from the time that you've been involved, and I guess, Kate, you might also have some insights into this as well, how has Melbourne's Jewish community changed in terms of the way it looks at the LGBT community in the 20, 25 years since the organisation's been in effect?
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, when we first appeared at In One Voice, we made quite a splash, and now we're pretty blasé, you know. the response is nowhere near as heated as it was in the past. So I think there are still some battles to fight. We have a lot of our members are very active in the refugee space or in the marriage equality space or in a lot of different political struggles. Many of us come from, are either second or third generation children of Holocaust survivors, so parents or grandparents who came here as refugees, and it's an experience that's very close to our community.
Does that Holocaust experience, how does that change things? Does that have an impact?
Of course, it has an impact. It's a traumatic episode in history, and it's one that directly or indirectly affects all of the Jewish community around the world. So, I can't tell you how. It's very personal for everybody, but yes, it has an effect.
But I guess having a group that you can come together, a safe space, is something that would also help that along. So the kinds of activities you have, are they mainly based around Jewish events and holidays?
We do try and celebrate the holidays and festivals together. So, the Hanukkah, as I mentioned, and Pesach coming up, and Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Some women get together for Friday night Shabbos. Purim is a really fun holiday where everybody dresses up in drag, and you'll see some of that in the film if you come along next week to the screening. And it's always been a very queer festival, Purim. So it's the one day a year when you're encouraged to get drunk. So it's one we embrace.
Excellent. And Kate, for you, what does it feel like to see your toil up on the big screen?
It's a wonderful feeling. I feel like I got so much out of the experience, both in terms of learning to make films, but also the opportunity, to get to know this group of women that I wouldn't have met otherwise. So for me, I guess I wasn't... as a younger lesbian, I guess to see a group of older women and the sense of community that they create together, lesbian women, was really important too.
Congratulations on the documentary. It is called It's Who We Are. It's showing as a part of the Midsummer Festival. It's on this weekend, Sunday the 22nd at 5 p.m. It's at a location I hadn't heard of, actually. It's called The Good Room, which is 398 Lygon Street, tram number 1 and 8. We'll get you there. Bargain price, $7 full price, $5 concession. What a great afternoon out in Melbourne. To our guests, thank you very much, Shauna Shirker from the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria and Kate Lafoe, who is one of the directors of It's Who We Are showing this weekend.
Can I just say at the screening on Sunday, there will be a panel that follows the screening. So if there are questions that Matt hasn't asked us that your audience is burning to know, come along, bring your questions along, and we'll be happy to answer them there.
Fantastic. And thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
I'm Stefan from Taiwan. You're listening to Worldwide Wave.
And a big thank you to our guest, Shauna Shirker from the Jewish Lesbian Group of Victoria. You can find out more about them at jlgvic.org. That's their website. And they're also on Facebook if you search them on Facebook. And Kate Lafoe, the co-director of It's Who We Are. It's showing this weekend. Tickets at midsummer.org.au or at the door, and bring along those questions.
A big thank you to all those who have interacted with us on Facebook. That's Jay, Claire, Cecilia, Margaret, Ali, and a heap more. You can also do so at W3Joy on Facebook.
And Gordon, as always, with us each and every week. Next week, we have Irish drag queen extraordinaire and successful same-sex marriage campaigner, Panty Bliss, speaking to us from Ireland. So that's going to be a fascinating one. We've got some more music from the documentary to take us out tonight. Thanks for being with us. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7pm Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.